Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of The Astrologer's Palace, a podcast about the art of memory and the art of astrology and where they overlap. My name is Andrew Watt, and I'll be your host. In previous episodes, we have looked at the Hall of Aries, the Hall of Taurus, and the Hall of Gemini, and we've also had visits with Eric Arneson and with Jenna Lee Taylor to talk about how the art of memory works. So by this point, I hope that you, my listeners, have some sense of how the art of memory is going to go, and you have some sense of how this episode is going to go. We're walking down a street in your town, and you stumble across Zodiac Street in an unfamiliar part of town. You turn onto Zodiac Street, and you find yourself walking on the sidewalk or walking down the middle of the street in this quiet part of town, past houses that are unfamiliar, until the street opens out into a large plaza, which contains at its center a rather large building, perhaps the size of a modern football stadium. But instead of being surrounded by parking lots, it's surrounded by a rather large garden, and that garden is surrounded by an iron fence. The building is round. The first story appears to be constructed of stone with carvings suggestive of Babylon and Sumeria and Egypt, and even perhaps some Indian or Polynesian elements on the ground floor. Looking up to the second floor, you can see that it is still stone, but here we have elements that are suggestive of Romanesque and Persian and Arabic architecture, as well as Greek and Roman columns. And the third floor consists of Gothic windows, and bits and pieces of the building here have been repaired or reconstructed using Tudor half-timber construction. Big black beams of oak with white plaster in between the pieces, such as we're familiar from costume dramas involving William Shakespeare. And the top floor, really the roof, is composed of metal panels, sloped, and you can sort of sense that there's a very large courtyard in the middle of the building as you're walking around the iron fence on the outside. And coming around a corner of this building, or coming around the curve, you see an open gate. You go through the open gate, and you find yourself walking up a path and coming into the building through an open door into a staircase, a grand staircase that leads you up to the second floor. And turning right, you find yourself in the Hall of Aries. The Hall of Aries is brightly lit in daylight, and there is a massive stone plinth in the center of the room with the statue of Aries, the ram on the center plinth, five rooms on the right and three on the left, and a cage at the foot of the plinth containing a statue, or perhaps the living representation of Saturn, dressed all in black with scythe and hourglass in hand, yet nonetheless caged. And of course, beneath your feet is the tile floor, which is green and marked with emblems of Venus, who is in detriment in this sign. And looking to the walls, you see the columns supporting the roof, colored yellow in honor of the sun. And above your head, the roof, adorned with weapons and painted blood red in honor of Mars, who rules here. And walking down the hall past the rooms on the right-hand side, the five rooms, you may find yourself remembering the context of these five rooms. And so you come at last to the doors that lead into the Hall of Taurus. And here the windows admit night light, and the room is lit partly by the light of the moon and by the stars, but even so, you can tell that the columns are purple in honor of the moon, who is in her exaltation here. And looking up, you can see the green roof in honor of Venus. And under your feet are red tiles for Mars, who is in detriment. And you see the cage at the foot of the plinth with the statue of Taurus, the bull, at the center of the hall. But of course, the cage is empty because Venus keeps no prisoners in Taurus. And walking down the hall, you pass the statues of the Triplicities. Do you remember who they are? and you enter into the next hall, which is the Hall of Gemini. And here, once again, you find yourself in brightly lit sunlight, and the central plinth has a statue of Castor and Pollux, the Gemini twins, with one of them gazing upwards toward the heavens and the other gazing downwards towards the earth. Looking above you, you can see that the roof is orange in honor of Mercury, and that the columns supporting the roof are painted gray and adorned with downward-pointing horseshoes in honor of the North Node, who has dignity here. Beneath your feet are blue tiles in recognition of Jupiter's detriment here, and as with the Hall of Taurus, the cage at the foot of the plinth is empty, for Mercury keeps no prisoners in Gemini. Coming to the end of the hall, you find behind the statue of Gemini three smaller statues of the Triplicity Lords. Do you remember who they are? On the platform representing the sun, you see again the figure of Saturn, and on the platform representing the night and the moon, the figure of Mercury. And between them, as their cooperating lord, stands Jupiter. And so you come at last to the doors at the far end of the hall from where you entered. You pass through those doors and you find yourself in a lobby, which is dedicated and decorated with symbols that you might associate with the summer solstice. For the summer solstice is the point between the signs of Gemini and the sign of Cancer. You see that there is a staircase going down to the first level, and you know that once you are finished, you will be able to return to this, go down these stairs, out into the garden, and open the gate. And we will come back this way and leave this way in the future, knowing that we can enter by the gate of the summer solstice into the astrologer's palace. Looking to the ceiling above you, you see that it is adorned with symbols of the moon, and that the panels that make up the ceiling above you, three stories above you, are alternating between purple and silver, the colors of the moon. The pillars which support the roof are the blue that we have come to associate with Jupiter. And there are banners decorated with the emblem of Jupiter hanging from those pillars. At the center of the room is a massive statue of a crab, again on a great stone plinth. And at the foot of that plinth, of course, there is a cage. And inside the cage is a red warrior in his red armor, Mars, standing angrily and yet constrained from his full action in the sign of Cancer. At your feet, you can see that the tiles are a beautiful combination of black and white, the black tile with the white emblem of Saturn carved into it and inlaid with white lead, recognizing that this is a place where Saturn is in his detriment. Walking along the right-hand side, the outer side of the hall, you encounter the same five doors that we have always encountered, the first door being red in honor of Mars and with the symbol of Mars carved into the solid wood, and above the door the number 8. And the second door, being blue, is graven with the symbol of Jupiter, and above the door is the number 15. And the third door is green in honor of Venus, and it has graven with the mirror emblem of Venus, and above the door is graven the number 21. And the fourth door is a double Dutch door, as we have seen before, with Saturn, his black on the top, and Mercury's orange on the bottom, and the number 26 above it. And the last door, the fifth door, is again a double Dutch door with Mercury's orange on top and Saturn's black on the bottom. And going into this last room, you see that there are in fact four chairs. And going into the fourth room, you see that there are five chairs. And going into the middle room of the five, the one that is dedicated to Venus, you see that there are six chairs. In the room that is dedicated to Jupiter, you see seven chairs. And in the first room, the room dedicated to Mars, there are eight chairs. Exiting, you find yourself in the doors that lead into the vestibule of the summer solstice, and you walk to the other side of the hall, the inner side, the one that faces the courtyard or the great open space in the middle of the palace. And here, you find that, as always, there are three small chapels. And the first chapel is green. And you recognize this green as the green of Venus, who indeed is shown on the door with her symbol of the circle and the cross below it. And in this room are 10 chairs. And there is an altar of green stone, perhaps a copper-based mineral like malachite. And on top of the altar is a painting or altarpiece. And on that is the image of the Two of Cups, with the red lion emerging from the cup that, from the two cups that the man and the woman hold in a pastoral background. And going on to the second hall, the second of these chapels of the Decans, you see that this one is orange in honor of Mercury. And on the altar, there is an altarpiece, and here we find the Three of Cups. The women dancing, raising their cups up. Some people depict them dancing in the rain, some don't, but that is the image here of three women raising their cups high and dancing and celebrating together. Moving on to the third hall, the chapel painted purple with silver accents in honor of the moon, we find here the Four of Cups. And it stands upon the altar formally and beautifully, depicting four cups and the young man seated beneath the tree, hoping against hope for something different than a cup. We are now behind the statue of the Great Crab, where the statues of the Triplicities usually stand. And here, on the platform showing the sun and dedicated to the ruling power by day, is a statue of Venus in her green robe, gently disrobing and showing her shoulders as if she is preparing to climb into the bath. On the platform dedicated to night and covered with emblems of the moon is the red warrior Mars in his red armor and brandishing his sword, looking fierce and dangerous. And on the platform between them, cooperating both by day and night, is the moon herself, beautiful statue, dressed in a purple gauzy robe and veil, and adorned with silver jewelry, her face partly hidden and yet partly seen by the pressure of the veil against her face. And then these are the lords of the Triplicities, Venus by day, Mars by night, and the moon as their cooperating power. Walking back along the right-hand side of the hall, we encounter a painting. And this painting of a woman shows someone with imperfections all over themselves, strange growths on skin and strange discolorization on the skin, weird lumps visible under her clothes in the breast, lumps or bulbs or boils pressing out from her stomach. She is holding her stomach as though experiencing stomach pains, suggested bad digestion or cold stomach. There is also phlegm dripping out of her nose, and her body heaves as if she is about to cough. And there is even a sense that things are pressing out from her stomach like she is encountering alien symptoms. And there is also a sense that she is suffering from the early effects of cancer, and clumps of her hair are starting to fall out. It is a terrible, dark, and disturbing picture, and it represents the diseases that occur when cancer is a prominent sign in a medical chart. Now, I don't recommend learning how to diagnose from my description, but I think that these traditional elements are important to understand. And so you walk down past the painting showing the diseases and the recognition of this as a feminine sign to a landscape painting. And in this landscape painting, you can see the sea and the beaches in the far distance. And in the main part of the picture, there is a great river with a number of boats or ships in the navigable waters. And in the foreground of the pictures, there are gentle slopes down to the river, places where you could launch a boat from. And in the right and left foreground, there are hills, and you can see places where there are brooks and springs and wells. And you can see these rivers flowing downhill off of the sides of the picture and over waterfalls and into the main body of the river as it leads towards the sea. Coming to the next painting in this gallery of strangeness is a group of women who have climbed down a staircase and are now in the cellar of a house. You can see the stone walls and the bare floor under their foot, and they are carrying large tubs of laundry because the sign of cancer is associated with wash houses and bathing places, but also with laundry places. And there is a trench in the floor and also a large concrete cistern or water tank. And these things are here to remind us that cancer is associated with water tanks and with wash houses and with the cellars of houses. Coming back upstairs, out the window above these women down in the basement, you can see out the window that the house is set in marshy land and that it is surrounded by rushes and sedges, and beyond that are dunes that lead out to the sea. So the house has an underground space, even though it is below the water table and they are engaged in marshy places where salt water is found in abundance. The next painting in this strange gallery shows the typical way that a woman with cancer prominent in her chart might look. Relatively short, relatively plump, especially on top rather than on bottom, a round face, rather moon-like, pale, almost goth, a white complexion, the hair brown, small eyes, and with a body that we might say, according to traditional lore, child-bearing hips, rather thick and well-structured around the middle. Moving on to the last painting, we see again a map of Europe, and here, colored in purple, is Scotland, and the western parts of the Netherlands, and the central parts of the Netherlands, the parts called Zeeland and Holland. Parts of central Germany are colored purple as well, as is Tunisia and Algiers, and the city of Constantinople, and Venice's old territories around the north end of the Adriatic, and Milan in northern Italy, and Genoa, the home city of Christopher Columbus, and most especially Amsterdam. There is also, just a little bit south of Scotland, a purple dot representing the city of York. And in Spain, there is the city of Cadiz, and each of these is marked with a red dot or a purple dot and a little purple flag as a reminder that these places are associated with the sign of Cancer. And so we can do one more circuit past the three rooms representing the Deccans, which are themselves first dedicated to Venus and then to Mercury and then to the Moon, and then past all of the rooms again representing the terms of the planets, first Mars closest to the place of the solstice, then Jupiter with its seven chairs, then Venus with its six chairs, then Saturn by day and Mercury by night with its five chairs, and finally with its four chairs, the little meeting hall dedicated to Mercury by day and Saturn by night, the figures of the triplicities, and all of these crazy paintings on the wall, along the outer wall, to remind you of the diseases and types of places that are associated with the sign of Cancer. And coming back to the doors through which you came, the ones that lead into the vestibule of the solstice, you turn around and gaze one more time at this hall, which is lit by moonlight, and you realize that all of the paintings and all of the objects in this room are on casters or wheels so that they can be moved around. And these are to remind you that this is a movable sign and that things change in Cancer, and that they are not likely to remain stable. And looking up again, you see the ceiling painted purple and silver as a reminder that this is, in fact, the place of the Moon. And the walls have much blue in them, and the air is full of moisture as a way of reminding you that this is the first sign of the water triplicity. And the whole room is chilly and cold, and you feel yourself rubbing your hands together a little bit to keep warm in this place, because this is the sign of Cancer. Walking once more around the hall, you realize that you have seen enough, and you go out the door into the lobby of the summer solstice, and you go down the stairs to the first floor, and there you find a great heavy oaken door which has been barred from the inside. And you lift off the bar and put it to one side, and you open the great door, and you find yourself out in the garden surrounding the astrologer's palace, with a little path that goes to an iron gate. And from this side of the gate, you are able to find the tricky little mechanism that unlocks the gate. You leave it and you go out into the street, away from the palace, and walk back the way that you came to more familiar parts of town. This has been the walk through the Hall of Cancer within the Astrologer's Palace. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.